It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward in for Kate Archer Count. At least 20 states now have laws that allow pharmacists to prescribe hormonal birth control. Wisconsin lawmakers are considering a bill that passed the state assembly this week, one that is seeing bipartisan support. Call in with your questions about how this proposal would work in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danielle Womack is the Vice President of Public Affairs for the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Danielle, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What are your thoughts? Should pharmacists have the ability to prescribe contraceptives? Should this happen?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. You know, I think we saw during the pandemic just how much of a public health role pharmacists can really provide. They're really accessible. Their hours are often longer and they're open on weekends compared to clinics or other healthcare facilities. And they can provide a great access point to folks who, for a variety of reasons, may have a hard time getting into their clinic to see their primary care provider. So I definitely think that this is a great opportunity to increase access to contraceptives in communities, whether those are rural or medically underserved communities, or in our more urban population areas where folks just sometimes have a hard time getting into the clinic during the day. Pharmacists are a great access point for individuals seeking contraception.
What have you heard from fellow pharmacists about prescribing and dispensing birth control? How do they feel about it?
Yeah, there's some pharmacists that are really excited. They feel like their population would really benefit from this. You know, whether that's a population that currently sees a primary care provider, but because of their work schedule or transportation challenges, maybe aren't able to get into their clinic. Or folks who maybe don't have a primary care provider right now for whatever reason. And obviously, we want to connect folks with a primary care provider. But in the meantime, if there's a role that pharmacists can play, I think there's a lot of pharmacists really excited about that. On the other hand, we do have some pharmacists who maybe aren't as interested in this. You know, it may not match their patient needs. It also may be something that they feel that they already are offering a lot of services at their pharmacy, and they don't want to add additional services at this time, whether that's because of staffing or workload or just making sure that they're, you know, really putting in the right amount of effort for the services they're already providing. They don't want to spread themselves too thin. And the bill was written really intentionally to say that pharmacists don't have to do this. And that language was very intentional to say, if you want to do this, you want to provide this service, you can. If you don't, you don't have to.
So they're not required to. It's ultimately up to the pharmacist themselves.
That's correct.
So under the bill, the pharmacist would be able to prescribe and dispense hormonal contraceptives in pill and patch forms. So obviously, there are different medications, there are different formulations available. So what conversations would patients and pharmacists need to have before a prescription is given, before a pharmacist says, yep, I know which one is right for you?
Yeah, so part of the bill requires that the patient fills out a self-assessment questionnaire, and that questionnaire has a number of things about the patient's medical history and makes sure that the patient knows that contraception does not prevent sexually transmitted infections. It encourages the patient to see their primary care provider. And then it asks medical history questions. Could the patient be pregnant? Does the patient have a history of blood clots or smoking or other things that may mean that they need some further evaluation by a physician or other healthcare provider before getting contraception prescribed? And then there's also a blood pressure screening that is done by the pharmacist. And if anything on that screening questionnaire or that blood pressure reading indicates that the patient needs further evaluation, the pharmacist does need to refer them for further evaluation. But based upon that screening and conversations with the patient about, you know, what would work best for you, a pill, a mini pill, a patch, the different types of pills that are available, the pharmacist will have that conversation with the patient. And we like to say that pharmacists are the medication experts on the healthcare team. Medication is their wheelhouse. It's what they know best. So having those conversations is right in the lane of what pharmacists are already doing about a variety of other things, even if they're not directly prescribing them with patients. So they're really used to having these conversations with patients and making sure that what they pick for the patient is best for both the patient's goals and their needs as a patient.
We're talking about a new Wisconsin bill that would allow pharmacists to prescribe and dispense birth control. Our guest is Danielle Womack. She is the Vice President of Public Affairs for the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. So how would this work? Would pharmacists be required to tell a person's primary care doctor about taking contraceptives? Is there a requirement or do they normally do that? How does it work?
Yep. So there is a requirement in the bill that they would have to tell the patient's primary care provider. We don't want to create silos of care. We really want to create a team-based care model. So making sure that the primary care provider is aware is a required component, but it's also something that pharmacists are regularly doing. They're regularly in communication with patients' providers.
So if a person's primary care physician disagrees with the pharmacist and says, no, I think that my patient should have this instead, ultimately, who has the final say when it comes to this prescription?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if the primary care provider, the primary care provider doesn't have to approve the decision of the pharmacist. So if the pharmacist determines that a medication it would be safe and effective for a patient, they can prescribe it and dispense it to the patient. They do need to let the primary care provider know, as I mentioned, but the primary care provider can't sort of veto the prescription.
Okay.
Now, that would be an opportunity if something like that were to happen, where we would encourage the pharmacist, the primary care provider, and the patient to have a conversation about why the primary care provider disagrees, what maybe they think is a better option. But there's not like a veto power of the primary care provider in that case.
So you mentioned earlier that pharmacists are already providing a range of services. Talk about that a little bit. What are pharmacists already doing besides just filling prescriptions at their pharmacies?
Yeah, so pharmacists are major vaccinators in this state. Pharmacists in Wisconsin are allowed to vaccinate patients 6 and older without a prescription and patients under 6 with a prescription. And we vaccinate patients for a wide variety of both seasonal and long-term conditions. Additionally, pharmacists in some areas are providing what we call test and treat services. So patients can come in, get tested for something like COVID or strep. And if those tests come back positive, the pharmacist then can actually prescribe them the proper medication. And that's done under collaborative agreements with physicians in place. We have some pharmacies across the state doing tests for other conditions. We have a number of pharmacies in the Milwaukee area, for example, who will test for HIV or other STIs. We have pharmacists who will provide naloxone to patients. The pharmacist does that under a standing order from a physician within the Department of Health. So the patient can come in and say, I would like to have naloxone on hand in case I or someone close to me experiences an opioid overdose, and the pharmacist is able to prescribe them naloxone. We have a similar standing order in place for epinephrine. If folks want to carry epinephrine in case of emergency, pharmacists can prescribe that as well. And then we have a number of pharmacies who are doing things under collaborative practice agreements with physicians that are a little less common, but are still occurring, things like prescribing tobacco cessation products. So they're really, you know, depending on the needs of their patient population and the needs of their community, there's a lot of opportunities for pharmacists to fill some of these primary care shortage gaps and public health gaps. And I think contraception prescribing is just another opportunity in that space.
It sounds like the services really vary from pharmacy to pharmacy then.
That's correct.
Circling back to the bill, the Wisconsin bill says pharmacists could prescribe hormonal contraceptives to patients who are at least 18 years old. So, underage patients are not included in this. What is the conversation like among pharmacists about access to birth control for people under 18, 16, 17-year-old patients? What's the general consensus, really?
I think at this point, being that this is sort of the first foray into contraceptive prescribing in Wisconsin, our pharmacists are really looking forward to the opportunity to prescribe for adults and potentially, depending on how that rolls out, you know, what the demand for the service is, there might be an opportunity down the line to talk about some of our older teenagers. But in conversations with legislators, I know that there were some concerns raised about underage individuals from a parental consent perspective, Some of the conversations that sometimes are had with individuals under the age of 18 to make sure that they're not in a situation that they don't want to be in, that they're being prescribed contraception when they maybe don't want to be in a sexually active situation. So we want to be really sensitive to that, and we want to kind of encourage the opportunity to start with adults, and maybe down the line we'll look at adding some of those older teens.
Danielle Womack is the Vice President of Public Affairs for the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. You can join in this conversation as well. Call 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. Wisconsin could soon join a growing number of states allowing pharmacists to prescribe hormonal birth control to adults. What are the benefits, and is there a downside at all? Call us, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danielle Womack is the Vice President of Public Affairs for the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin and stays with us. Danielle, a patient would need to meet certain health requirements before a pharmacist could prescribe them birth control. You touched on this a little bit earlier, how the patient has to fill out a form beforehand, disclosing any of these kinds of things. So specifically, what kinds of requirements are you expecting?
Yeah, so we're looking to make sure that the patient's blood pressure is within a normal range, looking to make sure that they don't have a history of blood clots. Of course, we want to make sure that the patient's not currently pregnant as well. Those are all things that may warrant further evaluation by a physician.
And what kinds of training requirements will pharmacists complete before having this ability to prescribe forms of birth control? Do they need extra training to be able to do this?
So the bill really leaves that up to the pharmacy examining board to determine what, if any, additional training is required for pharmacists in order to prescribe contraception. What we've seen, for example, under the allowance for pharmacists to prescribe naloxone is that it's a relatively short training, but it just makes sure that pharmacists are up to date on the most recent prescribing standards for naloxone. So I would expect it to be something similar to that.
You know, since we're talking about training, let's talk a little bit about what kinds of training pharmacists get before they become pharmacists. What kinds of school do they go through? How long does it take to become a pharmacist? How involved is it all?
Yeah, so pharmacists will obtain a bachelor's degree, and then they'll go on to pharmacy school, which is a four-year doctoral program. They'll graduate with a PharmD, a doctorate of pharmacy. At that point, pharmacists can enter the workforce, or they could do a residency, and those residencies are in a variety of practice settings, hospitals, clinics, community pharmacies, really sort of any practice setting that a pharmacist could practice in, there's a residency opportunity there. And those residencies can last either 1 or 2 years. And at that point, the pharmacist would generally enter the workforce. So all in all, when you combine undergrad, the 4 years of pharmacy school, and the potential residency, many of our pharmacists are doing about 10 years of training before they're actually entering the workforce as full-fledged pharmacists.
That's a lot, 10 years. So I had no idea. That's interesting. So what does a pharmacist need to consider before choosing a certain brand of birth controls? Is it like the strength of it? What is all involved in that?
Yeah, so there's a couple different things that pharmacists are going to want to talk to the patient about. Adherence is huge with birth control. Individuals who've been on birth control know that you're always told to take it at the same time every day. And that's really important. So if a patient is somebody who maybe wouldn't be able to meet that requirement, there might be a better option for them, like a patch, where you maybe put that patch on less frequently than taking a pill every single day. There's some pills, we call them mini pills. They're progesterone-only pills. Those are a little bit different than the standard birth control pill, which is progesterone and estrogen combined. And those pills are decided upon based upon patient's medical history, patient wants. They have different side effects, for example. So sometimes if a patient has really negative side effects with those estrogen-containing pills, they might switch them to a mini pill. But the mini pills do have a stricter adherence schedule than the typical birth control pills. So again, talking to the patient about, you know, are you going to be able to take this drug every day at the same time, or is there a different option that might be better for you?
We're talking about a new Wisconsin bill that would allow pharmacists to prescribe and dispense birth control. Our guest is Danielle Womack, Vice President of Public Affairs for the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Saul from Stevens Point is on the phone. Good morning, Saul. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Just curious as to whether physicians think this is sort of a slippery slope. This is the first non-emergency medication, you know, like naloxone or morning after kind of medication that is subject to, it is not subject to a doctor's reversal. So just curious to what physicians feel about this.
Okay. Thank you, Saul. What are you hearing from physicians about this, Danielle?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecology and their Wisconsin section, the American Medical Association and the Wisconsin Medical Society and the American Academy of Family Physicians all support birth control being available either by pharmacist prescribing or over the counter. Because the state can't make a product that the FDA has deemed to require a prescription over the counter, this is the furthest that the state can go to make these products available over the counter. And there's still a medical professional involved, of course, with the pharmacist being there. But we've had the support of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the Wisconsin section, and the Wisconsin Medical Society on this legislation, because they also see it as a great opportunity to increase access to these products.
Do you see perhaps future expansion of pharmacists' abilities to prescribe additional drugs in the future?
You know, at this point, we're not working on anything additional to expand pharmacist prescribing authorities. But I think depending on, you know, the rollout of this, if it's something that really does seem to help patients increase access, there could be the potential for future public health opportunities, whether it's tobacco cessation or some of these other products that we're seeing other states kind of start to delve into allowing pharmacists to prescribe. But at this point, you know, we're really focused on the contraception and then making sure that payers are covering these products when provided in pharmacies. The Wisconsin Medicaid department is actually working right now on implementing a program to ensure that when these services are provided in a pharmacy, they are covered for patients, because we want to make sure that patients don't show up to the pharmacy thinking they have this great access point and then are turned away because of their payer coverage. So right now we're really focused on both the payer coverage and then this contraception piece versus expanding to additional authorities. But there's a potential always down the line.
How complicated is that, arranging the payer coverage?
Yeah, it's a pretty complicated. We passed a bill about 2 years ago now that includes pharmacists as covered providers under the Medicaid program. And we've been really pleased with the progress the department has made, but it is complicated to create an additional provider type, figure out what types of services pharmacists are going to be providing, all of the requirements, getting pharmacists enrolled as providers. It's a big lift, but we're really excited about the opportunities that it will provide for Wisconsin's Medicaid population.
You know, Danielle, contraceptives can be prescribed for other reasons, too, not just for birth control, right? So women with certain medical conditions like endometriosis are getting prescriptions for hormonal contraceptives as well. So how might Wisconsin's birth control bill affect access to reproductive health care? I mean, can a patient who needs it for endometriosis go to a pharmacy provider, or is that a situation where the pharmacist might say, you need to see your doctor?
You know, there's no specific restrictions in the bill saying that it has to be prescribed only for birth control purposes. But, you know, endometriosis or really severe period pain, some of the other reasons, acne, for example, that birth control might be prescribed, that might be an opportunity where a pharmacist would refer the patient either to their primary care provider or a different specialist just for further evaluation to make sure that there's nothing else going on that might need further evaluation.
There are at least 20 states that allow pharmacists to prescribe contraceptives, including Illinois and Minnesota, so our bordering mm-hmm. states. How's it going in the other states? Have you got a sense of whether or not it's been a success there?
What we've heard is it's been a success. We've actually had some studies that have been done that have showed that women and other individuals who are seeking birth control products are self-assessing themselves accurately. They're not filling out the self-assessment in a way that is deceitful or even unintentionally inaccurate and would cause an issue. So there's been some studies done in that space that it is very safe. And then there's also been a study done in Oregon, which was the first state to implement pharmacists' ability to prescribe contraception, that showed that just in the first 2 years of the program, it's believed to have prevented an estimated 51 unintended pregnancies and saved the state nearly $2 million by allowing pharmacists to prescribe contraception and getting folks on birth control that otherwise possibly wouldn't be. So it seems to be going really well in other states. Oregon's had it for about a decade now, so it's not new there. And as you mentioned, I think at last count, there's 27 other states doing this. So it's gone really well, and we're excited for the opportunity to bring it to Wisconsin.
It's interesting that you brought up the fiscal aspect. Is that something you think that congressional leaders really need to consider before this vote goes to the state Senate?
You know, I know it's something that a lot of our policymakers have been thinking about. You know, if individuals, aren't getting pregnant, who maybe are not intending to get pregnant, there is a fiscal, consideration in place. But I don't think it's the number one thing on folks' mind necessarily. I really do think that what people are really focused on is access versus fiscal.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Danielle. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
Danielle Womack, the Vice President of Public Affairs for the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.